Central Bible College, and months ago I asked him to come because I wanted him to talk to you about Christian higher education. We have a lot of folks in our church, a lot of young adults who are graduating college age and began to think a little bit more specifically about going to school at a Christian college and things of that nature. And he's the president of Central Bible College. And so he's here not only representing that school, but really all Assemblies of God secondary schools. And so he's going to take a few minutes and talk to you about that. If you are a junior or senior high school or a parent of one of those or a young adult, I want to encourage you. Dr. Dimbo is going to be in the hospitality room right through that door across the hallway right after the service. We just want an opportunity to meet you and get a chance to talk to him and maybe ask some questions about maybe Central Bible College or Evangel or Southeastern or all these different schools that are options for your students. So we'd love for you to take a few minutes and join us there. And then he's a pastor, a missionary, and now an educator. He's going to offer us a unique perspective as we bring this this understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit into clarity for this weekend. So would you make Dr. Gary Dinbo welcome as he comes to share.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here with you, and what a wonderful, wonderful pastor that you have that God has given you, and really a good example. He told me that yesterday, he and his son set out to, he and his children set out to work in the yard, and they ended up in a water fight. Well, I thought any dad that would let his kids beat him, I don't know if they beat him or not, in a water fight, just as a quality guy. So I just think you ought to give your pastor, as just kind of the number one dad of the church, just a real big hand this morning. They love you, Pastor Wayne. They love you. I'm a dad. I have my wife and I have four children. We've been married 45 years as of this last June 4. And we have one daughter and three sons, all married. We have seven grandchildren and one due October 27. And she will be a little girl. At least that's what they told us this week, if the ultrasound is correct. And our kids are spread out, one couple in Columbia, Missouri, one couple in Kansas City, Missouri, one couple in Chicago, one couple in Cincinnati, and grandkids all spread out too. So my wife's on grandma duty this morning up in Chicago, and I'm here, and looking forward to what I do on Sunday night. You know what I do on Sunday night? I drive or fly. In fact, I have this joke that a few weeks ago I spent a week in O'Hare one Sunday night. Seemed like a week, 7 hours. But waiting on an airplane to Springfield, Missouri, which the airplanes in Springfield, Missouri are all small and they're few and far between. So if you miss one, sometimes it's late. But I'm happy to be here today, and I'm not in an airplane. I'm in a rental car, which I'm sure is going to make it sometime late tonight back in home. I have been at Central Bible College for 5 years. Before that, I was on the board of another one of our colleges for 18 years. And so I have a perspective about Christian education that I want to share with you. At Central Bible College, we're a fully accredited four-year college, but with a single purpose of training ministers and missionaries. Every student has a full range of general education, 30 hours of Bible, 18 hours of church ministry, plus a major. And I'd love to talk to you if you sense a call of God, or if you're dealing with a call of God in your life. I'd love to talk with you right after service today. There's material on that table right over there that you can take. Plenty of ballpoint pens if you need one as you leave today. But in general, I want to talk to you about the value, what I consider to be the value of a Christian education. I'm so thankful for the investment my parents made in me. And I know after raising four children, all of whom are serving God, and I'm just so thankful for that. But I just know a little bit about what parents go through when they talk about college and the expense of college with their kids. But there's an expense that you might not have realized. Dr. Steve Henderson is a wonderful brother. He has a consulting company down in Fayetteville, Arkansas. But for a number of years, he was in both secular and Christian college work. His last major job was as vice president for student development at University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. He has conducted an 18-year-long study of Christian kids. And his study has found this, that about 85% of our evangelical Christian kids choose to go to a non-evangelical Christian school. Only about 15% go to schools like Taylor and Wheaton and Evangel and Azusa Pacific and those kinds of strong Christian schools. 85% choose not to do that. And here's what he's found in this 18-year-long study with thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of data entry. He's found that of the kids that choose, of the 18-year-old evangelical Christian kids that choose to go to a state school, either a junior college, community college, four-year state school, within 4 years, 52.3% of those students are lost to the Christian faith. Not lost to a church, an AG church or Baptist church, but they no longer consider themselves Christian. And he's found of the students that go to a secularized religious school, like the one you have up in South Bend, Indiana, here in this state, that of those kids that go to that kind of school that once bore the name Christian, but is not Christian in testimony, of the kids that go to those schools, 70% are lost to the faith in 4 years. Now, I never wanted to roll a roulette wheel with my kids and take a chance. In fact, I was probably too much of a protective parent in a lot of ways. But you're really taking a chance. I'm not saying Christian kids can't succeed in state schools. But I am saying that you are really taking a chance, at least a 50% chance, that you'll lose your child to the Christian faith in 4 years. So I just believe that as you're looking into where you're going to send your kids and where you're going to send your grandkids, sometimes grandparents who already have their children raised and are in a position to help their grandkids go to school can take an active part. I know it's more expensive to go to a Christian school because there's not state money and limited federal money. But I also know it's worth it. It's worth every effort that you can make to help preserve the faith of the young men and women of this church. Now, after being in all three services, I can attest to you, you have an outstanding group of young people in this church. They're your greatest resource. You realize this building is not your greatest resource. Your young people are. Of all the things that are going to go to heaven with you, it's your kids that can go to heaven with you. All the vehicles and buildings will all get left behind. And so I just urge you, really pray about your kids. Really pray about your young people. Really help them. And if you can help them financially, even do that, because it will be worth it. It will be worth it. Again, more information over here if you'd like more stuff about CBC. I'd be glad to share it. I want to talk this morning about the power of the Holy Spirit. And my sense of my assignment this morning is to help prepare you for next weekend. So I want to do that from the book of Acts, chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, because this is really a preparatory chapter. I'd like for you to stand. I'd like for you to read aloud with me from the screen. The Word of God, the Bible says, until I come, give yourselves to the public reading of the Word. So I believe there's a biblical reason for reading out, for reading aloud the Word of God. So I'd like for you to do it. Now, don't mealy-mouth it. I mean, it's the Word of God. Don't just mumble it. Say it. Put some air into it, okay? No, not like you were yelling at your kids, but full voice. I'll just say that. Full voice. Let's read it together. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Heavenly Father, bless our understanding of your word. Open our minds to comprehend what you're saying to your church today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. This chapter occurs at the end of the Gospels and at the beginning of the historical book, the book of Acts. This is the last message of Jesus to his church when he was in his resurrected form before he ascends into heaven. So evidently this is really important. It's sort of like his last statement to his people. Now, this being Father's Day, I've grown a little nostalgic as I've gone through the day. I haven't looked at my phone but once, but and I've got it on silent, but I've been receiving messages. I assume they're from my kids, not wanting to read them. I want to wait until I'm alone after a while, and because it's kind of like gifts, you know, I want to open those gifts and just savor them. But I suppose I've grown a little nostalgic. So I thought back. My dad was killed in a car wreck April 5, 1970, just two blocks from home in a kind of a freak little accident in which he lost his life. I talked to him about 3 days before he was killed. Had I known 3 days later he would die instantly in a car wreck, I would have recorded that conversation. Whatever it took to record, I would have written it down. I would have taken it down word for word. I would have done something. Had I known that was the last time I would ever hear his voice this side of heaven, it would, oh my. I have my dad's Bibles. I open my dad's Bibles and I look through and see his notes. And he had a scribbly old handwriting. He only went through 10th grade before he went to World War II and then took some like vocational training after he got back. But had I just known, if a voice would have come to me, Gary, you're going to talk to your dad for the last time ever on earth, You know what I would have done? You can just imagine what I would have done to capture those words. As it is, I don't even remember. I don't remember our last conversation. I wish I could, but I don't. Two and a half or 3 years ago, my mother had a bunch of mini strokes, and she came down with what's called dementia with Lewy bodies. It's kind of a dementia that has Alzheimer's symptoms and Parkinson's symptoms. It's kind of a unique kind of thing. Sometimes she knows who I am. Sometimes she doesn't. Sometimes she can talk a little bit. Sometimes her words are all gibberish. Sometimes she's hallucinating. I called her on Mother's Day and thought, my stepfather, her husband, told her who was on the phone, and she said yes. But after we talked 2 or 3 minutes, she says, well, I got to go now. She said, be sure and tell your mother hi for me. I have no idea who she thought I was, but those were her words. You know, about 3 years ago, if I'd have known that was going to happen to my mom. Now, honestly, my mom was such a talker all through her life. I'm not sure which last words I would have accomplished to take. But had I known that was going to happen, I would have captured those words. Last words mean a lot. Okay, how about Jesus' last words? The very last thing he instructed his disciples do. Wouldn't that be meaningful? And his disciples knew. I mean, they, as he said these words, they saw him rising into the heavens. They knew these were his last words. And here's what he said. I want you to wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Now, that's his subject. Now, the disciples come back and say, can you tell us more about when the end of time will come? That's not his subject. He's not even talking about that. So he brings them back. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but what I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. The last words Jesus spoke to his church before he was taken away were words about the Holy Spirit and about the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. One person said it like this. The disciples faced a great challenge. They were to be Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth. The coming of the Spirit was to bridge the gulf between their inadequacy and the fulfilling of the task. The presence of the Spirit, that other comforter, would fill the gap created by Christ's physical absence and would empower the disciples to complete their mission. In other words, there would be foes for them to face. There would be difficulties for them to face. And Jesus would not be physically with them. So Jesus said, since I won't be physically with you, wait and get filled with the Spirit. Now, I've asked myself, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What benefits? What would drive me to be filled with the Spirit? And I've come up with four things that I'm going to share with you today. Four very meaningful things to me that I feel like I have because I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit that I wouldn't have if I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are just four things that mean a lot to me. I want to share them with you today. Number one, the Holy Spirit has come to help me think God's thoughts. Do I have trouble thinking God's thoughts? Yes, I do. Why? Well, because I'm a carnal human being. I try to think God's thoughts. The more I fill my mind with the Word of God, I think the more I think like God. And yet, I'm still natural. I'm in the natural body. And I think about things that I'm sure God doesn't think about. Pain in my fingers. Pain in my back. Pains in the neck. Not that I'm in pain all the time. Things that you think about. Is there going to be enough money to last through the month? Are my kids going to be safe? Is my little new granddaughter that's coming, is she going to arrive safely? Both of her brothers have come early, and there's been, you know, questions about, are they too early? Are they going to survive? Are the lungs going to... all that stuff that we just think about on a regular basis. And my wife driving out up in Chicago by herself without me there to tell her what to do. How can she do that? Well, I did leave her my GPS, which I call Gertrude. And I don't know if you know why I call my GPS Gertrude. Well, it happened one day that I was driving along alone, or at least my son thought I was alone. He called and he said, who is that woman in the car with you? And I had to give her name. So she's Gertrude. So I sent Gertrude with Doris, and I'm sure she's helping her a lot. But are you like me? Do you have trouble thinking God's thoughts? Thoughts of love and compassion and mercy and care? Or do you sometimes find yourself thinking thoughts of hate and disgust and rage? Well, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. If God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts, I need a way to access the distance from my thoughts to God's thoughts, because God's thoughts are better than my thoughts. That's what it says. My ways are higher than your ways. More important, more ideal, stronger than your ways. My thoughts are higher, better, more ideal than your thoughts. I want to think those ideal thoughts. And in 1 Corinthians 2:14 it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. I can't have all I want from God because I've got to have the Holy Spirit to discern things that God is trying to tell me. So I'm trying to think God's thoughts and I'm trying to do things God's way. And yet, if I reject the Holy Spirit, I don't have an avenue to receive those things. So I believe every one of you ought to say, I'm a candidate for the Holy Spirit because I want to be able to think like God thinks. Secondly, the Holy Spirit has come to help me, to enable me and you to share God's emotions. Does God have emotions? Yes, He does. How do I know? Well, He made you in His image, and you have emotions. You feel things. You love. You care. You show mercy. You show loving kindness. Those are all attributes of God. They came from Him. He built those into you. Now, the truth is, I show other emotions which aren't from God. I need to major in God's emotions, and I need to get rid of those other emotions that are in my life. Like, I am sure I'm the only one who's ever gotten mad at someone who cut me off on the interstate, highway, on the freeway. I would just readily admit, and I don't curse out loud, because I grew up in a house with a mother that said if I did, she would pepper my tongue, which I think is child abuse. Still working on that. But, you know, am I the only one? I have sometimes the wrong emotions. I'm supposed to be feeling one thing, and I feel another. I feel another. And yet, I want to share God's emotions. I want God's emotions to be my emotions. Here's what one man said. He said, it is not in humankind to love others who make no particular contribution to personal welfare. It's not in us to yearn for the lost, to sacrifice strength and time, to weep and pray for the fallen. Only God's Spirit can put that kind of love in our hearts. And Paul wrote, the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit because I need to love like God loves. And I need to have mercy like God has mercy. And I need to show grace like God shows grace. And then number three, the Holy Spirit has come to enable us to pray God's prayers. That's what we're told in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We're not able to think like God. We're not able to love like God without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't pray like God without the power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul wrote, we do not know what we ought to pray for. Or how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, I could stand here and give you the debate on exactly what groanings are. But most of you have experienced groanings. Emotions too deep for words. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever had a friend call up and tell you about a trouble that they've just discovered they have and you just groan inside? A few weeks ago, a very dear man passed away. He was one of my mentors over the past number of years. I'd known him since 1975. For 35 years, he had an impact on my life. Here's what happened. He got in his car with his wife, lived in Waxahachie. He drove to Houston on Saturday. And he preached in all the services in a church, both Sunday morning, two Sunday morning and one Sunday night service, in a church in Houston on Sunday, the 23rd of May, Pentecost Sunday. On Sunday night, he lingered around the altar. He prayed for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was used of the Holy Spirit. He had been feeling just a little weak, so on Monday, he went into the doctor to have blood work done, had his blood test all done at the hospital there in South Dallas. And on Tuesday, he went into his doctor's appointment. And his doctor looked at him and said, you have acute leukemia and you have 2 to 3 days to live. When I got that word, I groaned inside. I could not. I just couldn't believe it. Now this man, his name was James Bridges, lived for 6 days from the 25th when he got that diagnosis to the 31st when he breathed his last. They took a bed, hospice kicked in, and they took him home. And his son said that on Saturday he revived, got everybody around, gave everybody instructions, told everybody what to do. He was always kind of a joker, and he looked at one of his sons and he said, now don't let your mom marry a slough off. He just gave all these instructions. And then he passed. News like that causes us to groan inside. We don't know what else to do but groan. To hurt. To just hurt. All those years I pastored and all the funerals that I attended to for church members that I felt like were my brothers and sisters. Sometimes I would just feel this groaning come up from inside me that I couldn't put words to. And that's God's prayer. That's God's way of making intercession through me. I need that Holy Spirit working in me, because there are too many times that I lose any ability to make, to shape words. And yet there still is that expression of intercession that comes out. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, beginning in verse 14, he says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding. Now, he's talking about, if you speak out in a public place, you should speak with your understanding, unless you have a message in tongues that's interpreted. But he says, I'm going to pray with the Spirit, meaning I'm going to pray in an unknown tongue. And he said, I'm going to pray with the understanding also. He said, I really need that, because he said, when I pray in tongues, my spirit is edified. Aren't there times when you and I need our spirits built up within us, encouraged within us? Don't you come to church some Sunday? I started to say Sunday morning, but you all came after lunch, after brunch. But don't you come to church some Sunday afternoons and you just need a lift? In fact, I've concluded there's nothing worse than going through an entire church service and not having an emotional uplift at some point in the service. All three services this morning, there's been a point in that service where my spirit was lifted. And I'm going to drive home later this afternoon with a much easier spirit, a lighter spirit than I came in with, because the Spirit of God through tongues, the Spirit of God through Holy Ghost inspired worship lifts us up. So Jude said, just keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Build yourselves up in the faith. And while you're doing it, a means of doing it is praying in the Holy Spirit. And then Paul writes in Ephesians, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. I need to pray God's prayers. And to do that, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. And then number four, the Holy Spirit has come to enable us to do God's work. There are so many things that you and I need to do. How can we do it without the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me just share with you that as a college president, I'm in over my head a lot of times. I don't know if your job's like mine, but when I think I've faced everything, then I go to work and I face something I've never faced before. I faced a lot of things as pastor, and I faced some things as pastor for the first time, even though I'd pastored for many years. Here's a phone call I got one Sunday afternoon, out of the blue, having lunch around the lunch table at our house Sunday afternoon after church. Pastor, this is Dick. Please come to the hospital. We found Weston face down in his bed. Weston was a 17-year-old boy. We found Weston face down in his bed, in complete cardiac arrest. The EMTs have not been able to revive him. Please come to the hospital. Of course, I excused myself from the Sunday dinner table and made my way quickly to the hospital and found my friend Dick in the room with his 17-year-old, with the body of his 17-year-old son, completely unresponsive. This young man had stolen a canister of nitrous oxide from the place where he worked, laughing gas, and was going to use it to get high. But he fell asleep with the mask on his face and turned over face down in his pillow as he fell asleep and got too much of it, and it killed him. I did not know what to say, and I didn't know what to do other than take Dick's hand and begin to pray. But when I began to pray, the Holy Spirit began to take over. And he somehow enabled me to be the pastor that Dick needed when I didn't know. Would you know what to say? Would you know what to do? I mean, you might try some platitude like, well, brother, you just need to have faith at a time like this. Yeah, he really needed to hear that. True as it might be, he didn't need to hear that. He needed somebody to love on him and to bear his burden with him and to bear his sorrow with him. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Let's say you come to church some Sunday and you're just worshiping like you were earlier, and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, turn around and look. Three seats behind you, there's someone, and they really need you to come and pray with them right now. Your response would be, me? I'm not one of the pastors. I don't even have a necktie on. How can I do that? Why, if I go back there, he'll think I'm crazy. We make all kinds of excuses. But the truth is, we just wouldn't know what to do. All we have to do is just humbly obey God, get out of our seats, walk back three seats, just reach out and say, the Holy Spirit just told me to pray for you. I experienced it not too long ago, and oh my, this sermon gets longer every time. I experienced it not too long ago. I was in the Marriott, no, Embassy Suites. I was in the Embassy Suites in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, attending a meeting. I walked out of the room, and walking toward me was a fellow who has been a friend of mine for 40 years, but he's been a pastor / state representative, state senator of the state of Tennessee, chaplain of the state senate. And he's pushing this wheelchair with this older lady in it. I don't know how old. And he stops me. His name's Ralph. He stops me and he says, Gary. He said, I'm on the way to the restroom. So that's my mindset, if you get my drift. He stops me. He says, Gary, you got to meet this woman who's had a tremendous influence on my life for the last 40 years. And I want her to pray over you. Out of the blue. In the middle of a hotel lobby. But I sensed it was a divine appointment. And I stopped. That woman took my hand. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. And she began to pray. And then she began to get in the Spirit. And she began to pronounce things over me. There's no way she could have known. God enabled her right there at that moment to speak into my life in a way that she could not have known. Could not have known. Answered questions I'd been asking God. Could not have known. The Holy Spirit enabled her to do God's work at that moment to benefit my life. God can use you that way. So God gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to think His thoughts, have His emotions, pray His prayers, and to do His work. So over these next few days, I want to help you prepare. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to make sure Pastor Wayne has my cell phone number. I think he does. And I want some text messages, reports next weekend. Because I feel like I've made an investment, just a little bitty investment in this whole process, praying over these last few days and ministering. Here's what I'm believing. There's going to be an explosion of the power of God. Just by faith, I pronounce there's going to be an explosion of the power of God come upon this place in the next few days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of this coming week. And God's going to move in ways like He's never moved. It's going to be noised abroad, this entire county, the South Indianapolis area. It's going to be noised abroad that God is doing a special thing at Grace Assembly. It's going to happen in this place. My son texts me every now and then. Joe, he's our athlete of the family. Well, he and his sister. My other two sons are getting sort of major bumpers, but Joe's you know what he's preparing to do? He's going to run the Chicago Marathon in October, and he'll really do it well. But he's preparing every day, and he's got a GPS thing that records his running, and then he puts it up on Twitter or something, so I can see where he ran and speed and all that. He's just sold himself out to prepare to run that marathon. Have you ever sold yourself out like that to prepare for something? How about next Friday night? Between now and then, would you do three things? Three things. Would you do three things? Number one, would you claim your body, pronounce that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? And you're not going to do anything to defile it. You're going to make it ready. Here's what the scripture says. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whose temple you are? Here's what the scripture says. You are like a jar of clay so that the glory can be of God and not of you. God wants to come and fill your jar of clay. Here's what the scripture says. You're not to touch an unclean thing, but you're to keep yourself pure. Because God has a purpose for your life. So all throughout this week, can you just claim, can you make the proclamation, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm preparing it for what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon our church. Number two, would you pray constantly throughout these next few days? Now there are a number of ways to pray constantly. You can memorize a prayer and just repeat it. You can write down a psalm on an index card and just keep reading it and reading it. As you read it, pray it. You can take a passage in the New Testament, just repeat it and pray it through. Almost make it like a mantra for you. You're just praying it and praying it until it so gets into your mind that you think it all the time. You know what one of those verses is for me? Can I get just a little intimate with you and share? Because I go to bed with all kinds of things on my mind every night. Do you know what I repeat to myself? Many nights I'm repeating it to myself as I go to sleep. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I've learned to pray that prayer. I've learned that that prayer brings sleep to my tired body. And so I pray that prayer. Adopt a verse this week and just keep praying it. You might pray it 100 times. You might pray it 1,000 times. Record a prayer and listen to it all the way to Indianapolis and back when you go to work. If you're a trucker and you're going to drive to Norfolk, Virginia this week, pray all the way out there and pray all the way back. You know what happens when the cab of an 18-wheeler is full of the Holy Ghost? Whoo, revival comes. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Number three, live a life worthy of the calling God has given you. God has called this church to a higher level. And you're saying, I'm not going to do anything to spoil that throughout this entire week. Just one short story and I'm finished. I was 17 years old. My dad was really sick. Really sick. I just started dating this wonderful young lady. I was a debater. I played sports in high school, but I was also involved on the debate team. And my girlfriend was from First Assembly. My dad had raised us in another church, and she believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't at that point, and I was a debater, and I would argue with her. We'd go out on dates and argue about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm sure other couples do other things, but, and, you know, graduated high school, 18 years old. My dad was really sick. He had been injured in the war. He was on oxygen all the time. We'd come home and find him passed out. Doctor gave him 6 months to live. And I was frustrated. During my senior year, I'd become the pastor of our little church. My dad had gotten too sick to pastor it. They voted me in as pastor. I wouldn't recommend that ever for a senior in high school to be a pastor, but I did it. But I'd gotten to the end of that school year frustrated because my prayers didn't go anywhere and my dad was so sick. And I was so mixed up. My girlfriend's mother thought we were getting too close. So she sent my wife off to the World's Fair with her aunt for 3 weeks. And the first week that my girlfriend was gone, I went to her church on Sunday night. I ran to that altar and begged God to fill me with the Holy Spirit. He didn't. He did not. But the pastor saw I was hungry and he gave me a book. I read the book. And I remember what book, but he gave me a book. I read the book. And the next Sunday night, I went back and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. One of the things I did because I was baptized in the Holy Spirit is I prayed through over my dad. And my dad lived 7 years in defiance of what the doctor had told him before he was killed in an automobile accident. I will feel till the day I die that I touched God for my dad and lengthened my dad's life. But I could not have done that without the power of the Holy Spirit. So from the time I was 18 years old until now, I'm telling you, I've depended on the Holy Spirit for every move in my life. And I just want you to hear my heart. I'm not here condemning you. I've just had this conversation with you, and I've so enjoyed being with you. I just love being here and love being with you. I just wanted to have this conversation with you about what you can do to prepare for next Sunday and what you can look for when the Holy Spirit comes to help you think God's thoughts, have God's emotion, pray God's prayer, and have His power. Father, bless these dear people. And when You begin to move on them next weekend, may it be without end, a continual wave of Your presence upon their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dr. Dembo, thank you so much for spending the day with us. We have been so encouraged. And I want to again encourage all of the high school students, junior, seniors in high school and their parents, young adults, take a few moments and meet Dr. Dembo in the hospitality room. And just say one more thing about next weekend. I want to challenge you to join us on this journey of the pursuit of the presence of God. All along the way, we have tried our best to answer all questions. Remember, we began the first day with people writing down their questions. What does this mean? What does this mean? We've just done our best. You say, well, if you missed part of it, everything that we've done is on our website. All of the messages, Sunday morning, Sunday night, all of the audio is there. The small group videos are on the Facebook 50 Days for Fire group. And the devotionals will be completely updated by tomorrow. Read those. And one of the reasons we did the devotionals is so you could see everybody's different story of how they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Because everybody's different. And we just need to know that we need more of the Lord. And so I encourage you to join us and believe God for us to be what He's called us to be Spirit-filled. Would you stand with me? And we're going to pray as we close. At the beginning of this year, 2010,